ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we finish off the week strong. Got some NBA playoff stuff, and guess what, Jared? If you're a lover of wholesome building of teams, this might be the NBA playoffs for you.
Well, we're going to have to be the lover of that because that's what's just upon us here in Oklahoma.
It just turns out that that's exactly the way it's going to happen. Have to happen here. So maybe what we're seeing right now ought to give Thunder fan a little bit more hope than maybe they have the end of the season. Because
so you're telling me there's a chance.
6 out of the 8 teams still left are just normal, run-of-the-mill draft guys, don't put together some type of super team. And one of those two teams that is that way is down 2-0. The other one lost last night. It was a great night for small market America with Milwaukee beating the hated Nets and Utah going up 2-0 over the Clippers.
Well, I will be the black cloud in that discussion.
Well, listen, Milwaukee ain't beating the Nets, if that's what you're going to say.
That's part of my point, but no, that's not exactly what I was going to say.
Hey, listen,
we'll
Jared,
there's
no reason to stomp on people's feelings ahead of the lottery, which is a week from Tuesday. The 22nd. So maybe a little bit of NBA at the end. Maybe 2 weeks faster than anybody thought. The committee tasked with a recommendation for expanding the college football playoff made their feelings known yesterday afternoon. And this did not seem, when you listen to anybody that was on the call, Bill Hancock or anybody else, this didn't seem like one of those, well, we're thinking about this. It felt like this is the plan, and this is what's going to happen. So we'll kind of hash that out, what the recommendation is, what do we think, pros, cons, what could make it better? Is there one thing? We'll talk all things college football expansion to the playoff in the middle of the show. And, of course, at the top, Game 3 of the softball championship series. The Oklahoma Sooners are the national titleists with a 5-1 win over Florida State. So that's what we got on tap. Jared Atha, it looks like you are ready for some softball with your attire that you're wearing this morning.
Our first game's at 5:30, so I'm going to be in a hurry today. But yes.
Is this the beginning of the tournament?
No.
This is the last night of regular season play, and then your tournament will go Friday and Saturday.
Saturday, Sunday.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
This is Friday.
Yes. That's what it'll be. So I'm hoping that cold front they're speaking of this morning on the weather gets down here
ASAP.
Exact. Today might be a little steamy, but tomorrow might be a little better. Still calling for some 90s, I think.
So do you know how the qualification process works for the state tournament in your
top four?
Top four.
We thought top three, then we were told top four.
Is that just a function of having the amount of teams in the league?
I think it's a function of the availability of state, how many teams they would need from each league.
Right.
So they said, okay, we'll open it. You know, they said, okay.
I wonder how many
take top four from your league.
I know last year at this time.
Now don't quote me.
There was a bunch of people not playing because of COVID,
sure.
Coming out of COVID, still in the midst of COVID or what have you. I wonder if that's the case. It doesn't feel like it's the case in our league. There's 13 teams in ours.
Oh, we got 10 teams.
Yeah. And so
16?
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's back. Maybe you get one qualifier for every four teams in your league. How about that? The math works perfect. Last time I checked, 4 goes into 16 4 times. Anyhow, so
talking playoffs.
Is it fair to say you guys are the second choice in Vegas to win this tournament?
That's fair to say. The two seed usually is, right?
Yeah.
We're the two seed.
Cheyenne would be the.
Cheyenne's the one seed.
The one seed.
They got a salty team. They got the first round bye. And all signs appear that Canute and Cheyenne are on a collision course for a late Sunday afternoon game. But there are some good teams in this league. Navajo comes to mind. Granite comes to mind. Sentinel has a couple good players. And when we played Sentinel, they didn't have them there because they were off doing other things. So, got to come to ready to play.
Navajo, I believe that's the team that Phoenix gets to play first.
Okay.
Look like Sayre might have been the 11 seed, if I remember right. I saw the bracket yesterday.
Well, that's, maybe a dad has it on his phone. We'll see.
Well, you would think if anybody does, it'd be you. The guy running the game changer ought to have it on his phone.
That's me and another mom. We take turns.
I wonder if anybody out there listening here might know how many teams are going to.
Sayre is the 11th.
Well, that's what I looked at it yesterday. Wonder if anybody out there listening might know how many teams are going to state in the 10U boys bracket.
No, I mean, now the state is ran by OK Kids, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I'm wondering. They have a website, but when I last checked it was still.
It kind of doesn't get filled out until
it wasn't updated
the teams
before,
are there.
Since before COVID, so I don't know if it's updated.
There are sites up now, I can tell you that, at least on the baseball side. The regional sites have been posted.
Oh, okay.
Within the last week or so.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I failed to mention that the Elk City girls, too. They got a real, they're a 3 seed. How did I forget about them? Mr. Chauncey and.
Is that Lola's team? McClure.
Yes,
she's the first
McClure,
baseman.
Yes.
I watched her play one game.
They're good. They're a good team. They're fun to watch.
She is fast.
Yes, they are.
From first base. She ran down a girl in between third and home after she caught the ball at first base to get an out.
Yeah.
And she was going so fast. Unfortunately, the gal hit the deck.
And, oh, by the way, there's a Merritt team.
There is
probably,
a Merritt
probably
team.
Probably should give a shout-out to.
There is a Merritt team. Wonder who coaches the Merritt team that we're talking about.
Well, the name next to it says Brewer, but I don't know which Brewer it is.
I'll let you choose the answer to that one. Just right here in front of everybody.
Guess who they play?
They play the other Merritt
team. The other Merritt team.
Yeah, I saw that. Interesting.
Little inner-city rivalry going on.
So now here's the question, Jared. If it comes down to it on Sunday in that loser's bracket, and it's the fourth and fifth place game, which means the team that gets knocked out doesn't get a trip to state, and it just happens to be Canute and that Merritt team, will you think to yourself, should I tell our girls to take a dive so I have a job on Monday?
I'm not the coach.
So you don't have to make
that
choice.
I have no control over that.
Well done.
By the way, we play that certain Merritt team tonight.
Oh, good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wrapping things up with them. And
So when is state? It's at Weatherford, right?
No,
you're at Preston.
Preston, Oklahoma.
That's right.
Which is about 25 miles straight south of Jinx, which is where we will be staying. Right there next to the aquarium.
Now, do you feel like you're being a little too overconfident already for hotel rooms?
Rewind that. That's where we would be staying if we are to be successful this weekend.
Oh, wow.
It's in Preston. And, I had a lot of questions about Preston. If you look at Preston on the map or Google Maps, you think, that town, you know what's bigger than that town? Canute's bigger than that town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of towns bigger than that town. But I was told by those who've been, say, no, they do it right. They have like a team parade before the tournament starts.
Cool.
And introduce all the teams and let them march out there on the field. And then, it's like the night before the tournament starts. And then, while everybody's on the field, they say, hey, relax.
Fireworks
show.
Very nice.
So they do it. They make it all about the kids. And so that's why they get that tournament. And that makes sense to me. So we're excited if we are successful this weekend to let these kids have that experience. Because there was a big question of like, well, do we really want to take them? Because, I mean, we're going to play the best of the best, and they could not be successful and have their hearts broke. And we were like, hey, it's about the experience. You know, who knows? We might get lucky and win a couple, but I think it's about the experience and letting them experience that. I mean, we're doing it big for him.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting shirts.
Listen, we went to Salisaw.
We went.
We went to Salisaw for a T-ball state tournament a couple years ago, and it was cool.
Yeah.
You got to see.
It's just, yeah.
You got to experience, and they did, it was maybe not the parade of teams, but it was the right. Yeah. They really took care of you.
What are
cool.
some of your best memories of summers as a kid? It's playing with your team, with doing that stuff, you know, having fun.
I can't say my. What? The one thing that pops to my mind when playing summer baseball, and I literally can't say it on the radio.
My goodness, how much of a deviant were you?
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was just something. It was something I heard.
Sure.
From a guy that probably doesn't want me telling this story on the radio. It was outside, of course, outside of my dad. Now, here was one that I can tell. So my dad and a guy named Larry Jones, who's lived in Dubai for a while now. He's in the oil field business, and he's been overseas for years and years and years and years and years. And so when we were kids, they would coach us. And there was a night over in Sayre where we would play, and then the older kids would play after us or whatever. And so during our game, the Chuckster gets eliminated from the game. Threw him out.
No.
And so he goes up in the stands, and he sits by a guy that's no longer with us, unfortunately, that was coaching the older team, Mr. Jim Busby. And they're, you know, back. This is back before you had to, you know, like leave the field or whatever. So they're just sitting there watching the game. And then the older kids play after we get done. And I'll be darned if we're sitting there in the stands, and next thing you know, here comes Jim Busby having to set my dad because he had been tossed out of the game. So that was pretty funny.
I've been a little lippy at games, and I've had to been pulled back mainly by my wife to tell me to relax. And one time I said something, and someone else kind of said something back to me, laughing and joking with me.
Yeah.
My wife said, "I think your golds get thrown out." And I was thinking last night, what would I do if I did get thrown out? Do I need to go get a fake mustache and
Bobby Valentine.
Valentine, come back, turn my shirt inside out, maybe have an extra shirt in the car and change it from a gold shirt to a black shirt and come back and try not to look the same?
I think what you need to do is go out to Walmart, get you the Groucho Marx uniform there for your face, or the helmet. I can't think of what you'd call it. Anyway, disguise.
I got
just
a
have
feeling.
That, have that there.
I got a feeling. I mean, this is just beginning. I got a feeling I've got to learn to.
There was. This wasn't baseball. This was little kid soccer over at Weatherford one day where I can't remember exactly what happened, but one of the fans, one of the dads of a kid on our team didn't like what was going on. And so he starts yelling. The official in the middle of the field, not the flag people, but the one in the middle, yells back and blows his whistle, stops the game. And when he blew his whistle, this guy decided that was his cue to run out on the field and really discuss it with him. And, I mean, get up in his face and start yelling. By the time it was over, he had taken the card, like the yellow and red cards.
Yeah.
That the official had in his pocket, out of his pocket, and tried to rip them up. But, you know, they have they're like laminated, so that's a pretty tall task. So he just kind of tried to crumple it up, threw it in the air, and then he had to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
What was the question you asked me about regional stuff? Because now I look at their website and it is updated.
I was going to ask when is the state tournament?
A win for us is a week, two weeks from yesterday would have been the first day. We don't think it's going to start on a Wednesday. So the 24th, 25th, 26th.
I'm getting stories. I just heard one. I just heard this one the other night.
this could take us all
about
hour.
Getting tossed out of games. I was actually told it was Altus when this happened, where a former baseball coach here at Elk City High School, who now may or may not work at Barber Dyson Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Gets tossed and ends up sitting out on top of the bus, still yelling at the official, at the umpire.
That's glorious.
And if you know him, you realize that tossing him ain't going to make him quit.
I won't bring to air of a certain individual who got tossed recently at a coach pitch game.
Oh, no.
He knows who he is. I think he listens. I know his sister, I think, listens. I'll tell you later. He's the calmest guy you'll ever meet, and you know him. He got tossed. He's a coach over at first, argued a call, got tossed, and then the umpire overturned the call.
Did they let him come back?
No.
Oh, man.
He wasn't like tossed, leave the facility. They said, you're on the bench. Get on the bench. Don't come out on this field.
There is also, he may not be listening now because he's the guy who's trying to figure out a way to know how many teams are making the state tournament in the 10U baseball. He always listens. But I'm not going to mention any names. But last year in regionals up at Woodward, he was asked to leave the facility. Stood outside, just outside the fence, continuing to yell. And this didn't happen to just him. This was multiple times throughout that weekend. When you wouldn't exit, when I mean get in your truck and leave.
Oh, wow.
You know what they did?
What?
They called the cops.
They called the cops.
And escorted you out of there.
I could see that.
So that was a tough break.
Yeah.
And we were walking in as he was. Anyway.
Because I thought, you know, like, again, back to
what if scenario,
what if I got tossed, you know, would I would I have to leave, go to the parking lot and wait?
I actually think.
You know, do I need to pack a lunch or a few cold drinks and a cooler out there?
Here's the question. You probably can't come back the next game, but if they play two more, can you come back then?
Or that is it goes kind back of
a,
to my
or
disguise.
Or is it a daily, pass?
Am I out for the day? Can I come back Sunday? Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I might throw an extra shirt in.
I did see
colored ball cap.
I did see that yesterday or sometime this week that there's new signs out there.
That good idea. That was a good idea.
Softball complex, baseball complex. Because you know, turf fields, it can be kind of confusing.
Sure
anyhow,
and then we are used to it, but we never think about
out of towners.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. Now that they know they can make those signs, is there a chance that if you start getting kicked out of there, your face ends up on the fence? Don't let this guy in here.
Like a wanted poster? That could, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if that's happening somewhere in the country where the board of shame where they snap your picture and they put it up there and go, this person got kicked out. Don't be that person. You don't want your face up here.
For years, back in the day, my grandparents had a store on the highway at Leedy.
Yep.
Oh, here he is.
You getting it? Valuable info there.
Anyhow, a convenience store there. And it wasn't pictures, but behind the register, they always kind of had the wall of shame with, like, checks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, do not, like, names. Yeah. Do not take. So this would be kind of akin to that.
Like when Jerry Seinfeld wrote a hot check in that bodega and it had clowns on it.
I will say this because you haven't really experienced the OK Kids playoff stuff yet.
Not since I was in high school.
Yeah.
No.
So like softball, you guys don't have regionals. You just go straight to the state tournament.
We go straight to it. Yeah.
In the baseball, there's regionals. And I will say this, each and every place that we've ever been to for regionals or a state tournament, top notch, like you were saying with Preston. I mean, it's about giving those kids the best experience they can get in each and every tournament. Woodward does a heck of a job up there at their place. With the way it's ran, it's so smooth, you know, and they like to keep that you know, little sportsmanship, love of the game aspect in there,
right?
Which is best for everybody, anyhow. When they're these kids are 8 and 10 years old or whatever, they really do a great job. Weatherford, where the state tournament was, did fine work last summer. We've been to Salisaw as well, and I can't remember. I think it was Prague. We had to go clear to Prague for regionals and T-ball that year. And it's the same thing. Just fantastic, fantastic job by anybody
that
we've ever
been to. Look at the
list
of state tournament sites, you know, Weatherford, Woodward. I see Clinton has a 8U coach pitch baseball. Salisaw. I mean, in some question, man, why do I got to go all the way to Salisaw? It's because of that, because I think that's what OK Kids really looks for, is not so much convenience of travel, but how good a tournament is ran.
Sure.
And I think eventually Elk City will get some of that, but it's going to be so hard to pry those away from these sites.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because I don't think they're it's going to have to be an OK Kids organization to bid for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. It's a bid. I'm getting the info as we speak. This is like stream of consciousness.
I love it.
It would make sense though, because
it's your the Thunder guy that Jim has. This is your
This is my OK Kids guy.
This is your OK Kids guy. I'm anxiously awaiting the info.
All you do is bid donations to get a regional.
Bid donations? Well, you just come with a bag of money?
Sounds like it.
Oh, well, I just blew my whole thing out of the water.
Yeah, but there's no doubt that the same... you're right, though. The same people, you know, they continue to get it because they're doing a good job of hosting it.
Right. Right. Well, anyways.
Percent of your money made goes back to... Okay, kids.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
You know, you bid, hey, we'll give you 20% of this.
I see.
See what I'm saying?
I just,
hey, we're going to raise $4,000.
Right. Very good. Okay.
So there you have it.
Very good. Good stuff. I mean, I can't believe we're wrapping up a season. But we were talking last night, my wife and I, we'll wrap up state, and then it'll be 4th of July weekend. And then we have a family vacation. And I said, you know what? As soon as we get back from family vacation,
it'll be about school starting.
We got ready for school and fall ball.
Oh. That's the joy of having a boy old enough to play football. Kind of get to step away for a little bit. All right, so yesterday, game three of the softball. Oklahoma defeats Florida State 5-1. Jocelyn Nalo, a solo blast in the first inning. Jada Coleman. Who had been a sensational freshman all season long, had struggled maybe a little bit in the World Series, got off the schneid yesterday, hit a solo home run in the second, a two-run double in the third when the game really got blown open. And OU wins 5-1. You know, all season long, the story was the offense for the Sooners, and yesterday was the same for at least for the first three innings, for sure, where they built the lead. But – I don't think there's any doubt that going into even the regional, the one question mark, if there was one for Oklahoma, was in the circle. And my gosh, did G. Juarez answer that question in Oklahoma City? How amazing is it? She goes 5-0, pitches 31 and a third inning, gives up 4 earned runs, which equates out to a 0.91 ERA. And she didn't throw a pitch in the super regional.
Isn't that crazy? Everybody thought May and Sale were going to be the ones that were going to peak to the top, at least here in the World Series. And they pitched good at times. But G was the one. I mean, you just have to peak at the right time, and she was the one. And it's just like came full circle for her. I mean, with her performance in the World Series when she was with Arizona State, transfers to OU, gets injured. I mean, it's storyline. It's storybook. It's written for a movie. And then she comes back and just pitches a phenomenal two games there in the series finals. It's fun to see. She was unhittable. And I mean, you knew OU's offense was going to work. And once they got that, jumped out to that lead, even when it was 2-1, you knew. I mean, that wasn't even her fault, that one. And he knew that they couldn't touch her. And they couldn't touch her. Just great performance. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, she was incredible. I mean, the game, we kind of documented yesterday how if you're going to get to her, you had to do it early. And sure enough, the first batter of the game, Mudge, hits a double into the right field gap. You think, okay, well, how many are the Sooners going to have to make up? It almost felt like it felt inevitable that Florida State was going to score at least one. So how far behind will they be? And then she works out of that jam. Allo hits the home run, which, I mean, it's easy to question now different, you know, moves. I mean, we were talking about in game one of the series, why not start Juarez? Now, she had come off of pretty extensive workload, and it turns out that Patty Gasso pushed the right buttons as far as this goes because she was available to win those last two games. But if I'm, you know, a Florida State fan, two things yesterday that bothered me. One, how in the hell do you let the best player in the country beat you? And they kept pitching to her. It was just radical. are you doing? Okay, you throw her a pitch in the first inning with nobody on. She hits a home run. That is the last time she sees a pitch if it's me. Somebody else has to beat me. It ain't going to be her. And that's that wasn't the strategy. And then number two, and I understand, we talked yesterday about familiarity – and even kind of wondered, I think both of us, had the opinion that Juarez had to start for OU. But there's also a question of, okay, they got to see her inning after inning after inning. And that's probably what happened, I think, with Florida State, when, going back to Danielle Watson, who won game one instead of staying with Sandercock. And that was clearly the wrong move, because Sandercock came in down 5-1 and slammed the door. Oh, you didn't even – I don't – man, if they got a hit, they didn't get very many.
No.
After that, maybe Allo smashed it up the middle one time off of her.
I think so.
That ripped single that would have taken off an arm if it had got in front of somebody. But other than that, I mean, it was exactly the formula we saw for the first five innings in game two. Weak ground balls right where Florida State wanted OU to hit them. And one of the spots was to third base, and Sidney Sherrill, my gosh, talk about a vacuum.
Yeah.
Whew. As soon as the ball come off the bat that way, it's like, well, that's an out. It didn't matter how hard they hit it or not. That's an out. That's an out. That's an out. But Oklahoma had enough. Coleman was great with three RBIs, a home run, and a double. But it was Juarez. And that was kind of the prevailing thought even into the tournament was, does Oklahoma have good enough pitching? They clearly had the hitting, but can they put the pitching together with it? And it turns out when they did, they were simply unbeatable.
Absolutely. So it starts to beg the question of how great was this team? How do they rank with the all-time greats?
I think it's going to be impossible to tell because COVID eliminated the schedule that they needed to play. I mean, if they go 56-4 was the final record, I think. They were 50-2 going in. They won six games, right?
I can tell you right now. 56-4.
I think if you have that record against what would be the normal schedule with the dominance that they showed, I think you're talking about them in that list for sure, mm-hmm. toward the top of it. It's just so hard to tell because when you really look at who they played before the playoff, you know, they went to Georgia, who was an unseeded team. You know, Arizona State was a seeded team, and then OSU, Texas, you know, inside the Big 12. But even the Big 12 wasn't quite as strong as it has been in the past. So I think the numbers are there to start talking offensively. You're gonna have a hard time finding a better offense ever in women's college softball. I just think they're gonna get dinged a little bit overall because of the weaker schedule, and through no fault of their own, because they play as tough a schedule as anybody year in, year out, when those tournaments or those games are allowed to happen.
Right.
It just didn't happen this season. And so I think you'll see, and even during the tournament, you kind of heard that of, is this team really that strong? Because they weren't able to prove their worth in the non-conference and play in the schedule that they normally would.
Well, we said that going into the tournament. We said that going into the tournament with this very question was, well, let's see. It's a wait and see. How do they do in this tournament? If they come in and just steamroll everybody to a title, then, yeah, they're definitely top five, top three in the discussion. But because they dropped the opener to James Madison, who proved to be a World Series, they had the right to be there, James Madison, that is. But for OU to come back all the way through the loser's bracket, play three games in the finals, I mean, that started to open up the door of doubt of, well, I mean, you know, a good team wouldn't struggle like that, wouldn't have to claw their way back to win a title. But the numbers, man, we love numbers here, and those record-setting numbers, that's what keeps them in my opinion, to one of the top five all-time teams.
Yeah, I mean, there were...
Because when anybody is approaching, any team's approaching the all-time home runs record, batting average, runs batted in, everything, it's always going to be mentioned with OU.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing that makes a team great, in my opinion, because they're going to continue to say, well, OU had it in 21. OU holds that record from 21. And until somebody breaks it, they're always going to be in the discussion of, well, that's that record-breaking team of OU. And then that's why I think they are one of the all-time greats in the top five, maybe top three.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it is that the offensive numbers were in every single category.
Yeah.
All the way down the list. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you see a team that hits a bunch of home runs, they don't hit very good for average. I think they end up, at the end of the day, they end up hitting .405 as a team. I mean, that's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Plum ludicrous. Set the home runs record. And, yeah, every one of those, I mean, the slugging, all of that stuff was
No,
in their favor. They end up scoring the most runs, hit the most home runs ever, best batting average, all of that. I mean, it's just, you're right. In each individual category for team hitting from now on, all of those are going to go back to this one team. It's not, okay, the home runs from Hawaii in 10 or this and that.
Right.
Every single one of those is going to go back to this team for Oklahoma.
Speaking of Hawaii, individually, where does Jocelyn Alo rate as an all-time great Sooner?
Oh, my gosh, she's still got a season to go.
So we can't answer that just yet.
I mean,
best player Gasso's ever recruited?
I don't know. That's so impossible.
Ricketts is up there. Chamberlain's up there.
Yeah.
Romero's up there.
She is the first person since Lauren Chamberlain where every time she's at the plate, you think she's going to hit a home run.
Absolutely.
Every time.
You stop what you're doing.
Yeah, you think she's going to hit a home run.
If you're sitting and you watch her bat.
Because you think she's going to hit it out
exactly.
of the park.
Exactly.
And that's the way Chamberlain was. They were talking about yesterday afternoon about how you put your lineup together.
Yeah, I heard that discussion.
You know, the one and two. And that was the first time I had ever seen was Chamberlain. Because you always thought, okay, you know, your best hitter hits third or fourth, gets people on, drive in runs. And the next thing you know, she was leading off. And it was just simply to get her to hit as many times as humanly possible through the lineup.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
And that's
a seven-inning game. And
that's kind of what when I saw that philosophy from Patty Gasso that I obviously never really seen in baseball.
No.
Outside of maybe – God, it seemed like maybe Barry Bonds hit leadoff a couple of different games at times when he was just rolling. But anyhow.
You know, and if we have baseball coaches – by the way, we need to have our new coach in because I'd love to ask him this question. High school baseball plays seven innings. Are they sticking their best hitter at – two spot
or is it first or two or is it
still cleanup?
Right,
that's an interesting question.
Yeah, with the Pirates, Barry Bonds hit leadoff. That's what I was thinking. There was times, maybe even with San Francisco, just certain games to get him extra at bats with Barry Bonds. You know, it's really interesting, and I for baseball it feels like you have to score more runs. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe you don't, but it seems
say
like
softball. You have to.
I mean, it's becoming that way. I mean, when Chamberlain started hitting leadoff, if she hit a home run, the game might be over.
Yeah,
you know, 1-0, boom, that's it. Now it's not quite. You need to score more runs, but you also want to have those players hit as many times. It's a really interesting philosophy.
Hitting has become so hyper focused. Even at a young age of developing good hitters.
And you know what's weird? What was actually weird to watch? And even Florida State, as much as they were not necessarily a home run hitting team like Oklahoma, it was weird even for them, and obviously in the OU lineup, for somebody to slap bunt it or slap hit it. There's not a lot of that going
not
on anymore.
Not seeing a lot of that, are we?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No. Now you'll see,
you know, you see it here
see
and
the
there.
Sack bunt. If there's someone on first, you're trying to produce a run. But the slap bunt stuff, that's kind of gone to the wayside.
It really has.
I haven't seen a lot of it.
And so
it's grip it and rip it.
Yeah, and it's almost the opposite because it used to be you'd see one or two hitters not hit that way. And now you might see one or two hit that way.
And you know what? I'm glad that's going away.
Yeah.
I wasn't really a big fan of it.
It was such a skill, though. Like, what was
it?
What was the gal that was so fast? Brianna Terang?
Yeah.
Remember her?
Yep.
All she had to do was touch it. She was safe.
Yeah.
She was so fast.
Yeah.
Just get it in fair territory and you're on base.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for somebody like that to do it. But anyway.
Well, I told you yesterday I was going to be in a good mood today. This is a big reason why OU winning.
Sooners?
I'm a little sad because I had that free ticket.
Didn't get
to experience it. It looked like it was fun and hot. My God.
It's a lot easier to put up with the heat when your team's winning.
That's a good point. Gasso. She's.
It's number five.
There's another discussion of greatest coach on campus.
I bet we get into that on Monday.
Yeah.
With Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's already kind of talking about
it.
Yeah. We'll save that for Monday. Wrapping up the week here. Final segment of the week. Man, it seems like it's flown by, hasn't it?
Usually we get the summer, it feels like. We're going to blink, and we're talking about the Big Elk's opponent against the Harvesters.
Sitting here thinking, we got Fishing Derby coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. Then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, we got a whole month till the golf tournament. Boom, there it is. And then as soon as the golf tournament's over, it's football time.
Yeah.
Yep. It is time for football at that point.
I mean, my favorite holiday of the year always sneaks up on me, and that's 4th of July.
Yeah.
And that's just around the corner.
It really is. How much faster did January 1st, and really, let's say, March 1st, until June 11th go this year than last year?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It felt like that three-month period last year was worth about 5 years.
A lot more positive talk.
Yeah, it depends on what you're reading.
Well, I mean, with us, with you and me, lot more positive actual games and sports, and it wasn't, you know, we didn't sound like Eeyore crying because there's no sports on. You know?
Yep. There's no doubt about that.
This year is definitely flying by a lot quicker than last year.
It'd have been handy to have this topic last summer or last spring, and that is yesterday the College Football Playoff Committee basically announced what its recommendation is going to be for an expansion of the playoffs. And sure enough, they went from the 4-team model right now all the way out to the 12-team playoff model. And so here's how this works, kind of the format of it. You're going to have 6 automatic qualifiers, and those 6 automatic qualifiers are going to be the 6 highest ranked conference champions. Now, that does not guarantee any conference a spot. It is just conference champions, period. So like last year, the Pac-12 champ still wasn't one of those 6.
Because
they weren't high enough ranked.
They weren't high
there
enough
ranked. There was 2 power group of 5 teams that won their conference that were ranked higher than them.
Oh, I see.
So this isn't the 5 power 5 conference champs and a little guy. This is just straight up the 6 highest ranked conference champions, no matter the conference affiliation. So there is no guarantees for anybody. Period. Right. End of story. So what that means is an upset in a conference title game doesn't guarantee that conference's that champion of that conference a spot. You know, if number 25 whatever beats number 2 whatever, they are the conference champ. But if they're not one of the 6 highest ranked conference champs, then they're not guaranteed a spot. Then you're gonna have 6 at-large bids. 1 through 4 will get a bye in the first round. 5 through 8 will host 9 through 12. Now, one interesting caveat in this, outside of that first one, that there isn't a guarantee for any conference. The other thing that's interesting is Notre Dame cannot get a bye because they cannot be a conference champion. So they will never, ever, ever get a bye.
Okay, then there it is.
What's that?
Oh, the wrench in the system.
What do you mean?
Notre Dame was going to throw a fit about this.
No. They agree. They 100% agree with it.
Okay.
No, they're in. But because here's the deal.
Even if they're the number one team in the nation, undefeated.
They don't get a
bye. Sorry, you're the 5th ranked team.
That's correct. And they don't care. They don't care because here's the deal.
Well, they get to host a game.
They'll get to host a game, and then they're also, it opens up more spots for them with the 6 at-larges instead of like an 8 team where there's just 2. Yeah, they're fine with it.
Okay. So in theory, BYU would be in the same boat?
Correct.
They can
Any independent would be in the same never, boat.
Yeah.
That's correct. So, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, like I said yesterday, this is great until the 13th team starts crying, until a 13th team left out, very powerful team, starts whining about it and say, we need more. We need to expand it. But I like the progression of it, the progressiveness of it, of moving forward. Because the 4-team format, even though it's favored, teams like OU more often than not, it has become a little stale because it seems like it's the same 4, 5, sometimes 6 teams year in, year out, and everyone else is left out. Opens up the door for the mid-majors, for the group of 5 teams. And I think that's what the biggest thing was right here And you had to find a happy medium for the big dogs like the SEC. What would they like? And they love this because they can potentially get a ton of teams in in a good year.
There's no restrictions on the amount of teams.
Right.
From any one conference. I love it for a couple of reasons.
I'm just going to be a pessimist about it and say, you know, it's going to be great for, you know, how long until that conversation starts sneaking in, just like in everything else in our world of, well, it could be better if. And then it just snowballs and it just rolls downhill from there. And it's like, good, here we go. I mean, you wanted a playoff. We gave you a playoff with the 4-team. And then how long did it take before you started complaining about that? I mean, you know, when's it stop?
It's hard to say that you're wrong because even, you know, it felt like the NFL model was almost perfect. And now they've got an extra team. Now, part of that was COVID. I get it, but they're going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're not going away. And a big part of it is money. And money's driving everything. And to expand this playoff creates and generates more revenue for all these schools and conferences and athletic departments that are bleeding money because of last year and the shutdown and all of that it caused with just the cratering of what the revenues normally are. I love it because of two reasons. One, it genuinely does give all 131 teams or whatever it is in Division I football.
Yeah.
It genuinely does get every single one of those a chance starting in August of making the playoff for the first time ever.
And like I said, was it yesterday, even if a team stumbles a couple times before October, there's still a chance if they can get on a roll, win their conference, get a lot of, you know, respect from the voters and get highly ranked. You know, I mean, it keeps the fans involved
players
involved longer instead of this opting out bull crap.
That's number two is when we turn the calendar to November, there's going to be way more than just 6 or 8 teams involved in the chase for the playoff. You're talking about 25 or 30 that'll legitimately have a chance to keep the interest. And so instead of it being – like I said yesterday, Columbus, Ohio, South Bend, Indiana, and everything south of Norman, Oklahoma, nothing west, then people on the West Coast, everybody will still have an interest in watching the end of the regular season. And I think that's when the detractors are missing that point. They're saying, well, you put more teams in, you lose the value of the regular season. I completely disagree. I think this makes the regular season more valuable because more teams will be involved in the conversation and bigger games will be on the schedule now than ever before in November. And right here, the Pac-12 should love it. 100% agree.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the Pac-12 being done Labor Day.
Yeah.
When they lose one of those big matchups against the SEC, Oregon-Auburn comes to mind. You know, instead of them being done, now they have a chance to play big games again in November. And so I think it's not just because there's more teams and because it gives the little guy a chance. And Cinderella now actually might have a chance to slip on a slipper for the first time ever in college football. But it's engaging the entire country in November and keeping them engaged until those conference championship games that makes tons of sense.
Right.
And that's been the problem is, yes, there was a playoff created, but nobody cared outside of 5 places.
Right.
Tuscaloosa, Clemson, Columbus, Norman, South Bend, and somebody every now and then.
Right.
But for the most part, it was, you can almost guarantee 3 of those 5 schools were in it, if not all 4. Year after year, and it had become stale.
Yeah,
it really had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the truth.
It did, and so it did.
You know, you mix in an LSU for an Alabama 2 years ago, but it's still the same other 3.
Yeah.
And so, this gives everybody a chance, and it gives more people a chance. And I think the rooting interest of those fan bases it just grows them. It grows the amount of fan bases that'll care. Now,
okay, go ahead.
We'll keep on talking about this, obviously.
I want to have fun with the what if now. You know, what if this was last year?
Okay.
What if it was in there last year?
Okay, what if this – okay, so kind of the same thing is where I'm headed. In the last 10 years, if it was this format of 12 teams, interesting thing that I've found, nobody would have made it every year. That shocks me.
Because Alabama wouldn't have made it every year.
Alabama would only have made it even 9 out of 10.
Even out of 12.
That's what, spots? Well, you know, because that's the first thing. Well, Alabama can have 3 losses. They'll be in. No, apparently not. They would have made it 9 out of 10. Ohio State, 8. Clemson and OU, 7. And then Florida State, Georgia, Oregon, 5. Florida, LSU, Notre Dame, Penn State, Stanford, Wisconsin, 4. Oklahoma State would have made it, obviously, until 2011 would have been their year to be there. You know who's not on this list?
We're back.
Texas. Not on the list. Texas would have never made the playoff. And if, yeah, the what about the money? Oh, the money. There's. I'm interested in the money part of it. And it's something you and I talked about Tuesday, I guess, when this first came up. How it's going to look.
Yeah,
by that, I mean who is going to.
With the teams that got the bye, do they get to host that second round game?
No, see, that's unpack.
That's where the more of the complaining is going to be. But wait a minute, we want some of that revenue.
Yeah, but don't you think the TV money is going to be so big? This is one of the topics that we didn't have time to explore. Yeah. Is the TV, the money, how it's distributed? That's a great question because that was something I thought of. If you get the bye. But how much money are you giving up by not being able to host? Now,
retailers would love to have their bar open.
Sure, they would. So then, you know, because it looks like the first games are going to be on the campuses of 5 through 8.
Correct.
Then the next games and the semifinals are going to start spreading out between the bowls. Why not those stay on campus and just have, or the quarterfinals? I mean,
quarters keep them.
Why
on
not
campus?
The quarterfinals still on campus and then go to the bowls and the semis and the finals
like it is now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. So humor me real quick with our 2 minutes that we got left. Let's say this was implemented last year. OU would have got the bye. The byes would have been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma. Now, let's just do a little what if. Coastal Carolina at Notre Dame. Who do you got?
Notre Dame.
Indiana at A&M.
God, I want to say Indiana just because I hate A&M, but A&M.
Iowa State at Florida. This is a full-strength Florida. You would assume no one's opting out for a playoff.
Iowa State,
really. Georgia at Cincinnati, and this is when we saw.
Golly, would the home field be enough for the Bearcats to win that game?
Yeah. Instead of
it's hard to say Cincinnati since Georgia beat them, but you wonder if that was on the campus.
Cincinnati had control of that game.
What's
that
called?
All the way
at Nippert Stadium?
Yeah. Yeah. I would go Cincinnati.
We've got tons to talk about with this.
Okay, so you went Notre Dame, A&M, Iowa State, and
Georgia.
You're going Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stick with yours. Georgia. Alabama versus Notre Dame.
We saw it.
Right. A&M, Clemson. We saw it. Didn't we see that last year?
No,
that was the year before. Yeah, excuse me.
That was the 2 years before.
Okay. Clemson. A&M. Clemson. Okay. Iowa State, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
And Cincinnati, Oklahoma.
You'd think the Sooners.
Right. So that brings us to Alabama, OU.
Really? There's no way I'm saying Oklahoma.
Okay. And we said Clemson and Ohio State.
Saw it. So we get there.
And look what we got. The same result.
Yeah, but here's the deal, though. If you end up in the semifinals in this format with Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, there's no reason to gripe because they had to win games to get there in the playoffs.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina doesn't have a gripe.
Nobody does.
Or in the years past, if it was Central Florida,
and
they get the what would have been, I don't know.
Whatever.
And they lose in the semis or even before that, you can't gripe. I mean, you had your chance. We gave you a chance.
That's right. And the staleness of it goes, the argument goes away because they're not just getting picked. They're having to win the games to get there outside of just the regular season. So I think it's great. I cannot wait for it. I do hope, though, this is going to be the only thing we talk about Monday until we get Jim on, I promise you. But I do hope that they rethink some of the format of it as far as where the games are played.
Yeah. You'd think you got to reward the teams that got the bye, especially with maybe a home field thing. But
there we go. Ooh, I thought we were in trouble because the mouse wasn't working.
Oh.
Anyhow.
But
I mean, there's obviously an advantage to getting a bye, but Man, you know what makes college football great? The atmosphere in those home stadiums.
Yes.
And also a team going in there and shutting people up.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll talk about it a bunch Monday. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.